Will you all bow with me as I say a prayer of the offering? Dear Lord in heaven, as I stand before you today, I feel the love that you feel for this people, and I pray that you will bless them, that their hearts and minds might be open to the gift of your grace, and that they might give even as they've received. And Lord, you would bless the things that are given this day, not only in monies, but in talents and in fellowship, that you might bless it by the power of your Holy Spirit, expand it, and help it to bless all those who are in the church and outside of it that need your work done in their lives. And I pray to the Lord that it would be for the sake of your kingdom. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
For the benefit of the web, I will introduce the men that are up here with me on the rostrum. The one that will be given the invocation will be Mike Hancock, Priest Mike Hancock. And on my left will the Speaker of the Hour, 70 Randy Vick. And the music, Ministry of Music was built by the Killinger family. And the benediction will be brought by Priest Larry Ellis, and my name is Clarence Herning, and I will be presiding this morning. I want to welcome each and every one of you here this Sabbath morning, spring morning, with you can look out and see the blossoms and the new life coming upon creation that God created. And I thank Him for you coming out this morning to worship Him in light and in truth, and know that He is the Creator of all things, and we are at His subjects, that we have dominion over what He has created. I chose a call to worship, and it's kind of a two-part call to worship. One part is a blessing if we're obedient. And the other is to give us that blessing. And it's out of the fourth chapter, fourth book of Nephi, the first chapter. And we know this is after Jesus was put ministry on this earth and the disciples that he called to represent him. And this was in the 51st year or so after he ascended into heaven. And they did walk not anymore after the performance and ordinance of the law of Moses, but they did walk after the commandments which they had been, that they had received from their God, from their Lord and their God, continually in prayer and fasting, and in meeting together oft, both to pray and to hear the word of the Lord. There's a reward if we do that. And the next chapter verse gives you that reward. And it came to pass that there was no contention among all the people in all the land, but there were mighty miracles brought among the disciples of Christ. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. We will open our service with hymn number 5. If you find your place, you may stand.
Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that each of us has this morning to be in this place, and thank you for all those that have gathered. We pray that you will allow this time spent this morning to touch each of our hearts. We thank you for the opportunity that we've had so far to sing our praises unto you, what brings joy to our souls. But ask that you would allow your spirit to continue to dwell here with us, that we might each feel the ministering power that it brings. I pray, Lord, that you will bless Randy as he shares the spoken word. You allow his thoughts to be clear, and that the message he delivers will be well received. We thank you for the opportunity to hear him this morning. Pray for each that are gathered, that you might allow this service to touch each of them, and that we will all feel closer to the Lord, to you, and as well to one another. We pray this in Christ's name, amen.
he saith, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, the Lord who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this morning. Very thankful for the opportunity to be with you. Thankful for the invitation that you've given me. If thankful that my wife is here with me this morning. My adopted mother is here this morning. A lot of friends. I know most of you, and I've had the chance to worship with most of you from time to time, to serve with some of you. And yet, I feel an inadequacy this morning. I'm sure that you recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit that is with us this morning. He's with us in great power. And while I'm never comfortable standing here in this place, bringing what I hope is His words to His people, I'm trembling this morning because of the presence of His Holy Spirit. I do want you to know that this branch of His people are an inspiration to the church. Our little group that we've started recently in Warrensburg, I have followed the development and growth of this branch, and I hope that we can be as successful in the Lord's work in Warrensburg as you are here. I was very excited to hear the news that you have made the decision to build a church. And you know, many of you, I'm sure, have been through church building programs before, and there are challenges there. Everybody has an opinion when it comes to building the church. I have an opinion too. I really appreciate where the pulpit is situated this morning. This is how we do it in Africa. We're very up close and personal. In the United States, we tend to build a rostrum, and we're up here, and sometimes we're way back here. And I think it's important. We're brothers and sisters. We're all fellow servants in the work, and we need to remain close. So I hope you will consider that when you're designing your new church home. The Lord, I really believe the Lord directed me this morning. But it's not something that I was really looking forward to. Normally, if you've heard me speak before, and I don't function very well without a PowerPoint projector and pictures. I like to show pictures of my worship experiences with the saints overseas, to share their experiences with you. They're so anxious for you to know who they are and for you to know them as brothers and sisters in the work. And so I like to share that. And so I bring you greetings this morning from the saints in Liberia, where I most recently came from, because they always ask me to bring greetings to the saints in America. Now is the time to repent, for the day of salvation draweth nigh. That's kind of an old subject with us, isn't it? We're Latter-day Saints. Haven't we believed that all of our lives? Brother Jim, I appreciated your class this morning. Because, as I say, I wasn't real comfortable about preaching this subject. I just wasn't, you know. It is old news. It should be old news to us. And I know we're supposed to preach repentance. And so we should preach repentance. And we should be reminded that the Lord's coming is soon. I'm taking my scripture this morning from the 10th chapter of Alma. And says, yea, and the voice of the Lord by the mouth of angels doth declare it unto all nations. Yea, doth declare it that they may have glad tidings of great joy. Now, we know that the Lord uses angels for His ministry and for His work. He also depends on us And it depends on us to take the precious news of his restored gospel, the fullness of the gospel, to those that don't have it. It says all nations. That would include the United States of America. You know, the church is growing faster overseas by far than it is here in the United States. And that's important. The Lord expects us to carry the gospel to the four quarters of the earth. And he's opening ways for us to do that. But we have to do it right here at home too. We have to find ways to share the gospel. It was interesting, on the drive up this morning, we turned on K-Love in the truck. And the Protestant minister was preaching about the pure church, establishing the pure church. And he made a point that, you know, you go to a church, you find a church that you like, and you like it for a while, and then you discover some things that you don't like about it. So you move either to another church or you start a pure church. And you go for a while, and pretty soon, you know, some problems come up in that church, so you move again. And he said what happens is the pure church gets smaller and smaller and smaller. You know, it's kind of the opposite for us, the experience that we've been through. It's not that we have left as much as we've been kind of encouraged to leave. Been through the same experience in the Warrensburg branch, as in the Atherton branch, as many other branches of the church in these current times. And of course, by doing that, we continue to divide the work, and the number of laborers becomes fewer. The number of those who get discouraged becomes greater. And so the Lord depends on us even more to do what he's called us to do. And that's what Brother Jim was talking about so much this morning in his presentation, that we have to be about the Lord's business wherever we are. And I do believe in the gathering. I grew up in the center place, but by choice and by desire, I moved up to Brother Vance's part of the country. That's where my family came from. Montana is the most beautiful state in the nation, without a doubt. And we lived there for a couple of years. I lived there as a child, and then we moved back. My family moved back, and my wife, who's a convert to the church, said she was going back to Missouri. I could go with her if I wanted to. And so, in reality, I'm ashamed to say, but I was dragged kicking and screaming back to the center place. And she's reminded me several times that this is where we're supposed to be. And I know that it is. And we live down by Warrensburg. We actually live in Centerview, which is the former Central Missouri Stake, which is a stake of Zion. And I believe will be a stake again someday, hopefully in the not too distant future. And so I believe that we are gathered to Zion. But God has asked us to take this message to all the nations. Yea, and he doth sound these glad tidings among all his people, yea, even to them that are scattered abroad upon the face of the earth, wherefore they have come unto us. They depend on us to bring the gospel. They've had in Africa, they've had missionaries for well over 100 years, maybe 200 years, they've had missionaries going to Africa. And most of my experiences in Liberia, I lived there for 2.5 years, lived a year in Sudan. So I've had an opportunity to see the impact that those Christian missionaries had on the people there. We all see the news. Look at the news that comes out of Africa, especially sub-Saharan Africa. Do you think that those people's lives have been changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ? It hasn't changed the way they they lived their daily lives. Because the missionaries that brought them the message of Jesus Christ just told them, just accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And that's it. You don't have to change your life. You can continue to believe in the witch doctor. And they do. It's almost, in Liberia, it's almost 100% of the Christians in Liberia that still believe in the witch doctor and the power of the witch doctor. Because they were never told that the power that the witch doctor has comes from Satan. And so they've never rejected that. Even all the evil that the witch doctors do in their culture and in their daily lives, they accept it because that's the way they've grown up and they've never been taught to reject it. I can tell you that the Restoration Saints in Liberia reject the witch doctor. And our elders in Liberia preach against the doctrine of the witch doctors. I hear a term that troubles me greatly, and I'm surprised how often I hear it. I don't think I would hear it from this sanctuary, from people in this sanctuary, but I hear it from our brother and sister saints regularly. Someone will come up to me and say, but are they really converted? And I think we wonder about that because on one hand we know how disadvantaged our brothers and sisters are, and so we wonder if maybe they're not coming to the church for some financial gain. And I think too we wonder at the fast growth of the church in those underdeveloped countries. That they're coming to the church so quickly, can they really be converted? Well, I can testify to you that they are converted and they have faith. They believe in Jesus Christ. They believe in the Restoration Gospel. They believe in the Book of Mormon. Maybe more than some of us do. Brother Jim made a good point this morning in his class when he laid his hands on Sister Bonnie's head. But he made a point about our administrations. And do we see the miracles? And I have to tell you, in Africa we see the miracles. We see healings on a regular basis. Now, some of you were at the program at Independence Branch last night where I shared about my trip to Liberia and the orphanage. So bear with me, please. But most of you, I think, are probably aware of Sisetta. She's the mother to the children at the orphanage that we have there. And I know prayer requests were put out far and wide because she had a terrible varicose vein situation in her leg and needed surgery. She was in so much pain, her leg was swelled up, she couldn't walk, she was in constant pain. She told me there was no position that she could be in that she wasn't in terrible pain. And the doctor, her doctor there in Liberia, told her that she had to have surgery, but there are no doctors in Liberia that can do the surgery. And so we were trying to figure out, what can we do? You know, what can we do to help Sisetta? And so everybody was praying for her. When I arrived in Liberia, she had just been able to get out of bed. She could actually, she was back on her feet, but she could only be on her feet for a few minutes. And she was still in constant pain, and her leg was terribly swollen. But the first day I was at the orphanage, she came out to visit, and so I administered to her. And she received some relief. And 2 days later, I administered to her again, and this time I anointed her leg when I administered to her. The next day, I went into town to do that, went to her supermarket, and administered to her there in her supermarket. The next day, she came out to the orphanage, and she was singing, and she took the kids on a walk around the campus of the orphanage, and they were all singing, and she was praising Jesus. She said, I'm pain free. The swelling was gone. She said, I can walk. She said, I could dance if I needed to. And so the Lord really blessed her, and it was because of her faith. While I was there, I traveled to the interior to visit with some of the saints in the Zoalam Restoration Branch, and we had a young man, a deacon, in the branch there that had sprained his ankle terribly. His ankle was literally this big around. And he walked over a mile to come to church on that ankle, and he asked to be administered to. And so we administered to him at the end of the service there. And he stayed with us the rest of the day, ankle still terribly swollen. We walked him back to his village that night, and he's still limping terribly and in a lot of pain. Well, the next day we were going to travel back to Buchanan, so we walked the 4 miles into Bojese City to make arrangements for a taxi. And here came Brother Roca walking down the road. His ankle was completely healed, and he was praising God. So there are miracles when there's faith present, because God desires to bless us. But we have to believe, and we have to share that message of faith and belief with everybody out there that doesn't have that. Because whether we're in the United States or whether we're in Africa or Asia or wherever, this is a sick and dying world. And God expects us to bring ministry to the sick and the dying. And they are made known unto us in plain terms, that we may understand that we cannot err, and this because of our being wanderers in a strange land. And I asked the Lord, as I was studying this scripture, how can that apply to us? How can this scripture apply to us when it talks about being wanderers in a strange land? Well, let's look around. Look around at our country. Look around at our communities. Is it becoming strange to us? Is our country changing? Is our culture changing? Are we not called to be a strange and a peculiar people? So we find ourselves in a strange land. And it's becoming, in many ways, more so day by day. Therefore, we are thus highly favored, for we have these glad tidings declared unto us in all parts of our vineyard. For behold, angels are declaring it unto many at this time in our land. And I believe that. I believe that people that we haven't come in contact with are receiving this message. And it's causing them to go searching. And we have to be available when they come asking us. We have to be ready to provide that ministry and share the story of the gospel. For behold, angels are declaring it unto many at this time in our land, and this is for the purpose of preparing the hearts of the children of men to receive his word at the time of his coming and his glory. You know, we're Latter-day Saints. We've believed all of our lives, no matter how young or how old we are, we've believed that we're in the latter days. And we know the coming of Jesus Christ is soon. And now we only wait to hear the joyful news declared unto us by the mouth of angels of his coming, for the time cometh, we know not how soon. And I like what he says in the next paragraph. He says, would to God that it might be in my day, but let it be sooner or later, in it I will rejoice. And that's what we have to do. It may not be in my lifetime. You know, we don't know how long, I don't know how long my lifetime is. I've lived twice as long as my father lived. I've lived now almost as long as my mother lived. And so I know that, you know, there are no guarantees of our number of days here. God knows our number of days, but we don't. And so what we have to do is serve him all of our days, look forward to his coming. Whether or not we're here at the time that he comes is really irrelevant. But we have to share the message that he's coming so that others can be prepared. And now, my brethren, I wish from the inmost part of my heart, yea, with great anxiety, even unto pain. Have we reached that point yet? Do we desire our friends and our neighbors and our non-member families, do we desire them to be a part of the work so much that it causes us pain? If it did, I imagine we would go to the Lord in prayer in a little different fashion maybe than we do. Maybe we would pray more earnestly. Maybe we would make a more earnest effort to share the gospel message. That ye would hearken unto my words and cast off your sins and not procrastinate the day of your repentance. I really didn't like this paragraph. My wife says I'm the great procrastinator. And she's right in a lot of ways. I wouldn't have admitted that years ago, but you know. But we do. We tend to procrastinate the day of our repentance. And especially the unbelieving world puts off, even when they feel the need or the prompting to repent and turn away from their sin. When you don't believe that Jesus is coming soon, and you kind of hope that, yeah, I've still got several more years here, and, you know, there'll be time, there'll be opportunity, I'll repent at some time, some point. And so we tend to procrastinate our repentance. We can't do that. And they can't afford to do that. And we need to share that message. But that ye would humble yourselves before the Lord and call on his holy name and watch and pray continually that ye may not be tempted above that which ye can bear. And thus be led by the Holy Spirit, becoming humble, meek, submissive, patient, full of love, and all long-suffering, having faith on the Lord. There's that word faith again. We have to exercise our faith. Now, I know you have. And I know that that's why the Lord is blessing this body of his people, or this part of his body. I know that the situation that you have found yourself in has prompted you, maybe, to exercise your faith more than you might have. The other little bit of advice that I would offer as you build your new church home, don't do what we've always done. We did it in the RLDS church. We did it in the restoration branches. We can't afford to do it again. And that is, get comfortable. In Warrensburg, we met in the basement of a restaurant for 8 years, and we thrived as a branch. We were finally able to build a structure. We built a shell and a basement. We finished the basement, and we met in the basement for the next 4 or 5 years until we could afford to finish the sanctuary and the main floor. As soon as we moved into our beautiful sanctuary with our padded pews and our carpet and our air conditioning and heat in the summer, or heat in the winter and air conditioning in the summer, beautiful sound systems, we sat down in those soft pews and we began to die as a branch. We became comfortable. We'd arrived. We had our church home that we'd been without for years. And now we had a beautiful church home, and we sat down. Now, I can tell you that the Warrensburg branch today is a wealthy branch. Very wealthy branch. The church is paid for. They have a huge amount of money in CDs. They were very reluctant to support the missionary work. We weren't sure that we should be sending our missionaries over to Africa, bringing those people into the church that might not be truly converted. I know that the Warrensburg branch went more than 5 years without an ordination, without having a man called to the priesthood. I would be willing to bet, just shouldn't use that terminology when I'm standing in the pulpit. I would think that if we looked at ourselves critically, and I'm not sure why I'm being so critical this morning, but I think that we need to look at ourselves, where we've been, where we've come from, and where we're going. And we were members of the Warrensburg branch for over 20 years. We were charter members of the Warrensburg branch. I'm afraid that we could count on one hand the number of people, the number of adults that were converted to the gospel and baptized in the Warrensburg branch. I could probably count on two hands the number of the young people that grew up, our own children that grew up in the branch, that are still active in the church today. So we have to do things differently than we've done them. And the Lord has blessed you. I know He's blessed you because you've moved out in faith. You've done what you had to do to come together and study the gospel and worship Jesus Christ and share Jesus Christ not only with yourselves but with those around you. And the growth in this branch, in my opinion, has been phenomenal. And I hope you'll never be comfortable with that. I hope when you build your church that it won't be big enough, or that you will be able to provide ministry so that other branches can be formed. That's one thing that I admire about our brothers and sisters in Liberia. There's 18 branches there now, where in 2005 we didn't have any members. We baptized our first members in Liberia in 2005, and we have 18 branches. They have 4 missions right now. 3 of those missions only have 2 members. Those 2 members are members of the priesthood of the church there, who have left their villages and moved to those villages to live there and establish the mission and build up a branch. You know, they're not traveling back and forth. Of course, travel is terribly difficult in Liberia, so it wouldn't be effective. But they are so committed that they have, these 6 priesthood members have left their homes and their families and moved to these villages. Some of them have taken their families with them, but most of them haven't, because they have no way, you know, they have to establish themselves and find a way to make a living, and there are no jobs there, so, you know, they're all self-sufficient. They grow their own food, you know, they harvest their own food from the rainforest and things like that in order to survive. But the point is, they are so dedicated to spreading the gospel. Brother Stephen is the, Elder Stephen Gardee is the, our national conference president there. And when he says to you that I have found the gospel, the true gospel, and he's in love with the Book of Mormon. He's a former Baptist pastor. And he says, how can I not share this with my countrymen? And so that's what they're doing. They're out there spreading the gospel. And that's why there are 18 branches in Liberia now. Almost 700 baptized members. We can do the same here. You guys have got a really good start right here in Saints Haven. And I know the Lord has blessed your efforts, and I know He will continue to bless your efforts as you strive to serve Him. Don't get comfortable. Don't sit down and relax. Don't become, and I don't mean to say this in a negative way about our Protestant brothers and sisters, but we've we've become Protestantized in many ways. We have our church. We go to church on Sunday, and we have some good programs, and we maybe have some charitable efforts in the community. You know, we support the Santa's workshop, you know, at Christmas time, and we may host a Thanksgiving dinner for people that are poor and can't have one. But are we sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ? And are we spreading that gospel? Having a hope that ye shall receive eternal life, having the love of God always in your hearts, that ye may be lifted up at the last day and enter into his rest. That's his promise. It's what we're all striving for. We all hope to come to that point. But we have a journey. We have a road to travel to get there. And we need to travel the road that he has asked us to travel, not our own road. I know that the church struggles. We all know the struggles of the church. We have to remember that it's his church, and I think you do. I know, and I'll repeat, the presence of the Holy Spirit is with us this morning in such great power that I know he's pleased with what you do and what you're doing. I don't say that to build you up. I say that because that's what the Lord testifies to me. I know that the Holy Spirit's not here because of me. The Holy Spirit was here when I walked in the door. You brought him here. You invited him. And you didn't just do it today, I can tell. And so, I ask you to continue to strive with all your heart, might, mind, and strength to serve God, to build his kingdom, and to help each other and those around us be ready when he comes again.
I want to thank Randy for his ministry this morning and his deep humbleness. And I think it's an attribute that each one of us should covet in our lives. Shall we close with the hymn number 364, after which Larry will have the benediction and also the prayer over the lunch that we will has been provided. 364.
Save me.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for this opportunity that Thou hast given unto us this day. And we especially thank Thee for the words that our brother has brought us this day. For we do know that we all have been called to speak of Thee and to testify of Thee, and to have Thee as a part of our lives, that we may show those that we come in contact with that Thou are in our lives. We ask that You would be with us, and that You would go with us this day, that we would be a testimony of Thee and the things that we say and do. And we also ask that Thou would bless this food that we are to partake of this day, that it would bless the needs of our bodies, and that it would give us the strength and the energy that would help us to grow. That we might be the people that would build Zion. For we do thank Thee and we do praise Thee in Thy Son's most holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah. Sherman.